The test is going to be, because it'll be computer-based, it'll be structured quite differently in that we will be given maybe a 20-day window in which we have to test all the children. It will not be like the New Jersey Ask is now, where all the kids are taking it at exactly the same time. It does look like there may be fewer questions, but they will be much more, much deeper questions that the children really have to dig into. What I've heard so far is that there will be a time limit for the test, but that it will be, especially the first year, a generous time limit. They haven't quite defined what generous is yet, but they've said that it will be generous to allow the children the time for the transition.
And they'll take age into account. I mean, my 8-year-old may test differently in a time test than my 12-year-old.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
And we hope that they do.
Yeah.
And I did notice, Mrs. McIsaac, on the Department of Education site, they have a section there about the migration to Park. It's for educators and parents, just explaining what it is and what the fundamentals of the testing are. And I know New Jersey School Board Associations, it would be njsba.org, they have a similar section, more geared toward Board of Ed members, about the migration to Park.
And the Park is starting in 2015?
Spring 2015. Yeah, and actually the PTA site, the national PTA site, has a lot of good information on the Common Core standards and testing for parents also.
That's a little Ms. friendlier to you.
Yes.
Is it possible for us to put that on the website, put a number of those sites for reference?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could even put it, when we put this testing presentation up, maybe we could add a page with parent references of places that they could go to look for that transition to Park that
Definitely.
Might be helpful for parents.
Mm-hmm. That would be a very good idea.
Thank you.
And again, at this point in time, comments are open to anything on the agenda, but if anybody has any NJS related questions, it would be timely to ask them now since we are on the topic. Okay, feel free to ask them at any time, but if anybody has any other comments about anything on the agenda, please approach the mic, tell us who you are and where you live.
Mark McManus, 16 Twin Oaks Lane, Annandale, New Jersey. I know a couple weeks ago we had a meeting. It was the committee meeting for facilities and transportation. There was nothing that had come out at the end of the discussion of that meeting, and I was just looking for some further information as to, you know, where things sit with that.
Would you like me to answer?
Why don't you go ahead and start, Dr. Clark, and then I'll sort of do the color to your play-by-play.
The committee discussed it and felt that they did not come to a conclusion at that point and felt it was important and advisable to bring this discussion to the full board because there are many pros and cons and pieces to discuss. So one of the things that's going to happen is when they do the committee reports, they bring it to a discussion. They report that what happened at that meeting, and then the rest of the board kind of chimes in and shares in the discussion, and hopefully they will come to a consensus and a recommendation. They don't have to vote on this, but they do have to give us a recommendation on their best thoughts about it so that they direct administration on how to handle. I know that yours was Twin Oaks and Lilac, right? The concerns about Mr. McManus had concerns about the bus stopping on Lilac as opposed to going into the cul-de-sac. And so he wanted the board to make sure that the buses went in as they have for a number of years. I'm correct on that, right?
Over 20 years.
They have gone into those cul-de-sacs. Our routers had some concerns about the safety of going in and out of cul-de-sacs, and I, if I'm misrepresenting this, please correct me, but some of the concerns expressed by the routers had to do with actually the bus leaving the cul-de-sac and how they exit it. Now, I know the other concern was that it had been done for a number of years, and why wouldn't we just continue that? So there's been some discussion on that. Is there anything you want me to add on
one,
that?
One of the questions I did have is, how many cul-de-sacs in town does it affect that are being removed from the routing?
I know there's about 100 and,
there's
is it 22 cul-de-sacs
there's
total?
There's 122
but there's
total,
not that many that are being affected
is,
by this.
Them, how many of them are, about, you know, how many of them do?
Were there eight or nine?
Eight or nine.
Yes.
And, I mean, do most of them sit in similar situations where, you know, they're, you know, on blind turns and you know, safety of children at mind?
I'm not sure all of them have the same concerns that you have. I know that one of the streets that was brought up to me was Coral Drive. One of them was Twin Oaks and Lilac, Fawn Ridge, was one of them. Do you remember any others?
Country Place
was another one, but that has a little different twist on it because of the length of it.
So we're talking about eight or nine stops is what this whole discussion is.
Eight or nine cul-de-sacs, yes.
Eight or nine stops.
I don't know if there's only one stop in those cul-de-sacs, but yes.
Wasn't it also talked about by the routers that it's a phase-out period to go into cul-de-sacs down the road?
Mr. Frieda, I would hold that for when we have the discussion during facilities and finance.
Okay, I'm sorry, okay.
All right. So at this point, you know.
I mean, one of the things I'd like to bring to the whole board is, you know, there was Lakewood, New Jersey had done a big study last year about child safety and improving child safety and flow of traffic by putting buses onto cul-de-sacs as opposed to, you know, not going on them. You know, they were going against the census of the routing agencies and saying, hey, listen, if we move these bus stops onto certain cul-de-sacs where we're eliminating the traffic off the main streets, putting the children in a safer environment by being in the cul-de-sac as opposed to being on the corner of a main street, you know, that was something that they have implemented in this past year to alleviate a lot of problems they had in their township. You know, I'll throw it back to the opening of the meeting. You know what? The Constitution was written in 1776, and it's a great article. You know what? There were people who laid out the routing agent, you know, the routings for certain reasons. You know, there has to be due diligence in looking at why they're being removed as opposed to just a standard criteria of we don't go down cul-de-sacs. You know, and I know there was at that meeting there was a question about a particular email. Maria, I believe you brought it up about the email of was there actually a physical email that went out saying about the Round Valley bus being relocated to the top of Lilac. There was some confusion with that. Yes, there was an email that went out with it, and I do have a copy of it if anybody was looking to see that. I know that night there was the question came up, you know, the whole communication drop-off that was there where the buses one day just didn't show up on the cul-de-sac, and then the next day it was, well, they're going to be back, but then only certain buses came back, but not all the buses. But meanwhile, everybody was told that the buses were going to be up on the top of the street, which then they weren't. But that that question had come up, and I said I didn't know. I went back. I checked all the email stuff. There was an email that was sent out on Thursday, October the 3rd, stating that the bus for Round Valley School would be up on the top of Lilac, but on that particular day, the bus proceeded to go down Twin Oaks to Current, where it's still down there at this time now. The big thing was the communication on that was really horrendous.
Mr. McManus, I'd like to ask if you could share with the board what your specific concerns about safety are for Twin Oaks and Lilac so that the board can hear exactly what your concern about that street was.
The big concern is on Lilac there. You have an S-turn that comes in. If you come down Payne to Lilac and proceed to make a right, there's an S-turn in there, and Twin Oaks is right off of that S-turn. As it stands right now, my son is being picked up on the top of Lilac, and he is actually having to cross Lilac to get picked up by the bus. Whereas every child that is on Lilac, that bus is picking that child up on their side of the street. That's also being done with the kindergarten buses, and you know, that is concern to myself that, hey, kids shouldn't be crossing a street. There was a gentleman that I know, Mr. Stryker, who lives on Lilac, who was fighting to have his child picked up on the side of his house until the kid almost got hit by a car, was it actually finally changed. It is a S-turn, it's right in there, Twin Oaks Lane. You have two houses on the top of the street, and then you have an association that's in there, so we have a park. The majority of the houses are down at the end of the street. It's a half-mile-long street. The majority of the houses are down the end of it. The end of the street does incline uphill. Parking the vehicles and having the kids up there, you know, for the 10, 15 minutes they're waiting for the bus, you know, is not ideal circumstances. And I believe that's why the bus stop was put there over 20 years ago at the end of the street. And now it's being, you know, moved, and in the safety of the children hanging out on the corner of Twin Oaks and Lilac in the morning and being dropped off there and having to cross Lilac to be picked up by a bus is not ideal circumstances.
So Mr. McManus, thank you for just coming to the board meeting, first of all, and speaking to us about your concern. Kevin Malloy, he chairs that committee where we were talking about transportation, and we couldn't come to a consensus in that committee meeting about that topic, and I know there are others here that have similar concerns. And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, we'll discuss it as a board during facilities and finance, and we'll talk about some of the pros and cons that we heard from, you know, our committee meeting and that we've heard via email and then at football practice and at gymnastics, et cetera. But it is helpful because it's being referred to the full board. If anyone's here that has a concern about transportation or anything else on the agenda, it's good for everyone on the board to hear what your concern is.
If I can make one more comment, I wanted to bring it with me and I didn't get a chance to get it, but there was a couple that moved into Twin Oaks this past year, and they have a child that's in kindergarten. And I know when we were at the meeting, I brought up that, you know, they didn't know any different. Their child's being picked up across Lilac. And you know, at the meeting, there was the discussion of that, and there was a letter that went out from the Transportation Department, and unfortunately, she's not here tonight, and I don't want to speak for her, but, you know, she kind of felt braided in the email that she received from the Transportation Department stating that, you know, in order to get your child dropped off on that side of Lilac, you have to get everybody else's approval. The child's going to be spending over 33 hours of the course of the year longer on the bus, and really, you know, and the email that we received from the Transportation Department when there was a questions as to why this was all going on. I mean, there's just no courtesy in any of this stuff. It's very harsh that's coming across, and it's not the way it should be handled.
Thanks, Mr. McGinnis.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi. I'm Andy Berry, and I live at 15 Oak Ridge Road. I've reached out to the Transportation Department, Dr. Clark, several times in regarding our stop. We live up, it's kind of behind North Hunterdon High School and the Beaverbrook area. A lot of our stops have been established for like 6 to 10 years where we've had consistent stops within a short amount of time. My two twin boys are 5. I kind of have twofold. I didn't understand why a whole area was changed as far as a routing perspective when we were fine for years and then the first 2.5 weeks of school. My boys were being picked up along with Allison around 3:25 to 3:30. Then when the new changes came out, we've like bumped back to like 4:02, 4:07 time frame, which was a significant difference. So I didn't understand why a whole area, and that included like Beaverbrook, Oak Ridge Road, Westgate, just the whole top of the mountain, we are all now picking up our kids. So the bus is pretty much half empty because SRS has everybody picking up. So I didn't understand the change. And then secondly, we keep getting a time frame of 40 to 45 minutes is acceptable for students to be on the bus. While I would agree with that in an age frame of like high school, I don't for a 5-year-old. Basically, the kids are 3 o'clock, backpacks on, coats on, getting ready for dismissal. By 3:10, you know, we can start picking up our kids outside the back, and I think even last year, this is what I saw, at 3:10 when we'd pick up the boys at pre-K, the buses would be loading between 3:10 and 3:20, and then everybody was gone by like 3:25, easy. Now I feel like the time frame, if the board approved like a 40 to 45 minute time frame, I don't think that should just be like little tushes in the seat and like the buses in the drive gear. It should be from the point of when they're in line at school and they cannot go to the bathroom, they cannot get a drink, and they're not free to ask to go. They're 5 and 6 years old at this age. So really from 3 o'clock to 4:05, 4:07, 4:10, they have no bathroom privileges, no drink privileges. And if they get to a point where they're on the bus, even if they were asking to go, there's no option to take care of them. So I kind of wanted to ask the board, is that the time frame that you're sticking with, the 40 to 45 minute, you know, time on the bus, and then not including the time that they're waiting at school? Is that going to stick? Or are we going to look at, like, the smaller age kids and kind of adapt, you know, more buses, just better circumstances for them? Because I think a lot of parents just want, they just want to know. Because a lot of our time frames were established for years. And I know it doesn't, it's like gymnastics and football and practices. Everybody's life, they kind of built around that time frame that they got. And then now everybody's in limbo. We hear like, yes, it's set, no, it's not set. Yes, it's set, no, it's not set. Could change, could not change. So we're kind of just wanting to know, you know, are those times still acceptable for you? Are you really going to change them? Will they set until, if other parents get hindered in the process of this next change, will they change in enough next month? So I guess that's just why I just want to know if we've been heard, that that's too long of a wait for kids that young, and then are they going to change and stick and not be changed again? And are, you know, can we see some changes?
Sure, sure. So first thing, yes, okay. you've been heard. Okay. And a lot of parents have, and I have, you know, young children in school myself, and I think most of the folks sitting at this dais have kids in the district, so we're not just clients, you know. But in terms of, and I'll ask Mrs. Spitzer to correct me, but I think the transportation time right now is time spent in seats on the bus. It does not include loading and unloading. Kindergarten is something of a unique circumstance because we have 2 half-day classes. And it can be, if you've ever seen the transition at Spruce from AM to PM, it can get a little hectic. In terms of the 40 to 45 minutes, it's more of a guidance. I wouldn't necessarily say it's a state guidance, but it does come from some state authorities that have that. What we're doing now, in light of basically the failure to implement this properly, and I think that failure rests with the board, is to look at addressing the problems this year as quickly as we can and getting the jump on next year, gathering the concerns like you've shared with us tonight, and thinking about the best way forward for routing wherever possible to alleviate times, to factor in the attention spans of younger kids, not only for them but also for the poor drivers. But you know, if I had an answer for you tonight, and I could do it, I believe me, I would. I think we all would. Right now, we're trying to sort of figure out the best route forward to alleviate the timing concerns for this year. But yes, on a go forward basis, we are looking at all of those things in finance and facilities. That's okay, and as a board at whole.
So when you're looking to, is it adding buses or just
adding buses is a possibility. In fact, we've got an action item on the agenda tonight that includes that.
Okay.
Adding buses, adding routes, optimizing route pickups. And I think, too, kindergarten is something of a unique situation because I believe kindergarten is a required door-to-door, which adds to the route time.
Only door-to-door.
You're not door-to-door.
It's not required door-to-door.
Okay. Excuse me for that. So, but there are a lot of door-to-door pickups at the younger ages. So, yes, adding buses, looking at the routing schedules, looking at optimization. The challenge that we're also going to have, and I'll actually be talking a little bit about some of the outside factors that factor into this. What are the changing demographics grade to grade? One of the things that happened this year that caught this board a bit flat-footed was the changing demographics of our student body. So when you squeeze the balloon and the kids migrate from SRS to Patrick McGarren, their rides are going to change dramatically, even if their addresses don't. Same thing from Patrick McGarren back across 78 to Round Valley and then down the road to Clinton Middle. So
did you see like a drop in SRS and an increase in Patrick McGarren, like statistically?
No, what's happened is it's kind of counterintuitive, all right? When you have less students, when your enrollment starts to drop, and you have a town like Clinton Township that is not what I would call densely populated, it's very spread out. When you have higher enrollment, all right, you have more kids that get off at a particular stop, all right? When you have less enrollment, you actually have, it's more spread out. And we actually have in the roll-up, what you call a roll-up, where, for example, you had your kindergarten kids coming into Spruce Run this year that you didn't have last year. When those kids were rolled up into the routing, we had more enrollment that were, I'm going to call outliers for lack of a better word that I can think of, on the edges of town. So you had more kids who moved into town who were enrolling in our schools, like maybe on the border of Reddington, all right? Okay. So that bus to pick up those kids, even though we maybe have a dozen kids on that bus, they're so spread out that that's like an hour route, all right? Because of how spread out those kids are. And what we were trying to do is give some time to, initially, we had problems with the routes themselves. We redesigned the routes, and we wanted to give them some time to kind of play out and even out the drivers to get used to them, to run them, so we could get clear times of how they were actually running time-wise. Because initially, we didn't have that. The routes weren't right, and we couldn't tell whether it was because the routes were wrong or the drivers were running them new and different. Now we have a pretty good bead on what routes are running well and where the real problems are, all right? For example, I want to say the pineapple bus, right? That's, I think, your bus, right? That's an extremely long route that we want to do something about. And what we did is propose to the board, the facilities committee, some changes in that would help us with those odd kind of routes like Pineapple Route, which really we don't want the kids on the bus that long, all right? So this will impact some of that. It just took us, I know it seems like, okay, we could just do it right away, but it takes a while for us to see how those routes were really playing out. I know it's hard for parents, and some parents are driving. I kind of wish they weren't, so I really had the exact times.
If I thought my dad could hold his bladder an hour, I would stick it on there. But I've yet to make it before 3:40.
I get it.
No, I'm kidding.
I get it. No, I get it.
What I didn't understand was it was just kind of, our area is definitely not new. It has well populated. Nobody is on the outskirts of Clinton. Like, they're, you know, usually the Falcon or Eagle bus from Patrick McGarren would roll in, and then about 5 to 7 minutes later, the SRS bus would roll in. And that's Sam Rosenberg's in high school now. It's been how it's been since then. Since our area is, like that whole Andrea and Ann, Lee Street, you know, Country Club Drive, everything is set, it was a big shock to all of us that it changed. And then we went from, you know, our area, they totally took out Andrea Ann in areas that is close to us. And now they're like getting trucked up. They actually do kind of like round around into High Bridge. Is kind of like they drop all the way up to High Bridge and then they turn around and come back.
What's the, forgive me for interrupting, the distance that your stop has changed? What's the distance?
What do you mean?
Well, your stop, I'm hearing, moved from point A to point B.
No, my stop didn't change, the route.
Oh, the route, okay.
The route, I'm sorry,
okay.
The route.
Oh, okay, but, yeah.
The route, I mean...
But the route's more circuitous than it used to be, is what you're saying.
It goes to a completely different area, mm-hmm. and then now the completely different area is, like, on the opposite side of, like, they get on 22, and they go up, like, to Clinton Honda, and then up behind, like, the correctional facility, all the way to Highbridge, like, where that... I don't know if it's like a Canon company or
you're talking about Custom Alloy?
Custom Alloy. It goes all the way up to there. It actually crosses into Highbridge. She turns there and then she comes back all the way.
Comes back down through Annandale.
And then over to McDonald's and then they go back up through
Weaver. We could check into that, but there may or may not be children that moved in, but I think we might... that weren't there previously?
The Pineapple Bus, I think, will be positively impacted by the changes we're proposing tonight.
So what I'll ask, and if this is okay, Dr. Clark, Mrs. Spitzer, and Mr. Sturgis, Mrs. Spitzer, when we talk about moving these new routes, perhaps you could give a little narrative on what we're doing in terms of the routes? Maybe that should help alleviate some of the questions during the facilities and finance portion of the festivities?
That would help. Yeah.
Okay, sure.
I just think there's just a lot of parents who... You know, we didn't understand why. Those of us who felt like we were quiet, we were happy, things were rolling. Then when the changes came, we were like, oh, my gosh, we didn't have anything to speak up about. So we kind of felt like we got the short end of the stick. So, but what we don't want to happen is the routes get flipped. And then now the poor parents in Highbridge get the short end of the stick. You know, you don't want to... We're hoping something gets resolved where...
Yeah, I'm on that end.
Exactly. Yeah.
That 12-person bus, I think, Drew was talking about my bus.
Yeah, we're trying to kind of even things out. Right. Not everybody is going to love it when we even things out, though, because mm-hmm. some people who had a very short route may have a 20-minute route or a 30-minute route, all right?
If they had a short route.
But we're trying to even it out so it makes more sense for everyone.
Because I haven't heard very many parents standing in line that are under 30 to 40 minutes. And that's, and even when I'm at HealthQuest or ShopRite, you know, it's...
We have.
Yeah, from the school, that's where we're like, I don't know. I come from a farm community in Kansas, and they could bus us, I mean, I'm like, in an hour, I was like, you could have covered our whole rural route and then back to Canton and then back to town, you know. This is just kind of crazy to me. So will that be decided tonight?
We're going to discuss that tonight, absolutely, right. And then we'll be voting on that tonight.
Okay. Thank you, Mrs. Murray.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good evening. It's Allison Paul from Seven Oak Ridge.
Hi, Mrs. Ford.
I was at last month's meeting, as you may remember. And within 24 hours of that meeting, I received an email which increased the journey time 38 minutes each way for my children. One is a 4-year-old, and one is a 6-year-old who's autistic. So it was made quite clear in the meeting that where possible, if a journey could be done like a first pickup one end, you'd be the first drop off the other. It was very clearly obvious the Pineapple Bus had been flipped, but my kids managed to get the extension both sides, which wasn't fair for my children. I would like some commitment that whatever changes happen going forward, if your child is the first pickup, they will be the first drop off, because it's just totally unfair.
What are the transit times for your children?
They get picked up at 7:56 if the bus turns up on time, which hasn't quite happened yet, and they get dropped off at 4:05.
But in each direction, so 7:56.
If 7:56, they get to school. Not always at 8:45. Sometimes it's a bit later.
This is the Pineapple Bus, you said?
Pineapple Bus. The thing that's ironic is my other son, who's out in Cedar Knolls, actually gets home prior to my children at Spruce Road.
That was an improvement then.
Well, one gets home at 4, the other two get at 4:05, and one's traveling 28 miles and one's traveling...
So there are two children on the Pineapple Run, and their transit time is approximately 48 minutes right now?
Yes. Okay. On a good day.
And you said the bus wasn't arriving on time. What time is it arriving?
In the morning, it's generally sometime between 8:05. In the evening, anywhere between 4:02 and 4:10. And sadly, my four-year-old is either asleep on the bus now when he gets home, which is detrimental for me, or he's screaming because he needs the toilet.
So in the afternoon, what time would they be boarding, Dr. Clark, if they're arriving at 4:02 to 4:10?
Well, that's at Spruce Run, right? So, yeah, so they're boarding between 3:10, 3:20.
Okay.
3:25, I think. I was at Spruce Run the other day, and the buses were, they pulled out about 3:22 is when they pulled out.
Yeah, if they're on the bus as long as an hour, that's something, you know, coming up till this year, you know, me personally, I've been coming to these board meetings for a long time, and I've been advocating for the board to do something to shorten the routes, because I've had hour and 5 hour and 10 minutes rides each way for over 6 years. And this year, in the roll-up and with the transportation planning, the target, and it's not a hard target, was 45 minutes, plus or minus, allowing for fluctuations in the route. But if there are kids on the bus for over an hour, it's something that we're trying to smooth out. We really don't want them on the bus that long.
I don't see why they couldn't have had a long journey one side and a short the other, so that it's fair for all parents.
Yeah, that's typically what should be done.
And that hadn't happened. It was an increase of 38 minutes each way. So they went from an 8:36 pickup to a 7:56, 8:34 to 7:56, and then at the end of the day, instead of being dropped off at, it was 3:25, 3:26, it was 4:05.
Okay, we'll take a look into that, Mrs. Ford. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. Hello. I'm Pam Beswick. I live at 18 Country Place.
Hi.
First, I want to say thank you for the bus is now coming up our street, to come up our cul-de-sac, but, so I appreciate that. But I'm still having an issue with time. I just want to echo, it's not just the Pineapple bus. There are a lot of other buses that are affected, too. I also have twin five-year-olds in kindergarten. They ride the Quince bus, and their projected drop-off time is also 4:02. Again, that's on a good day, provided everything goes okay. It's been up to a half an hour late at times. I've had to actually get on the bus because my twins have fallen asleep. I get on the bus, half the bus is asleep because it's a long ride, and it's not just us. There's a number of children still on the bus at 4:02. So I know that it comes up our road, Country Place, and then it goes up around Stanton Mountain Road into Stanton and comes back on 629 and drops off some folks on Country Oaks. And I know the folks on Country Oaks, their projected drop-off time is around 4:15 to 4:20 on a good day. And I know those folks aren't taking the bus. It's just too long. As Mrs. Berry brought up, the issues with the children having to go to the bathroom, tired, cranky, fighting. It's not fair to the kids or the drivers. So I just want to encourage the board to really look at those proposals that are on the table tonight, and if there can be things done about adding buses or anything that can be done to shorten the route times would be greatly appreciated.
Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Pete Atanasio. I'm at 19 Twin Oaks Lane. I wanted to add a few points about the Twin Oaks stop on top of what Mr. McManus already raised. A few things I thought the board should be aware of. One of the arguments against coming down our street that we had received via email was the possibility of the bus being obstructed if it goes down the cul-de-sac. I've lived there for 5.5 years. I've never seen an obstruction. It's a very big cul-de-sac, easily navigated. Parents often actually wait in the cul-de-sac on days of inclement weather, never get in the bus's way. We've also been told that it would add, I should say wouldn't add because it's not new, but it takes 6 minutes to go down our street. My wife has actually clocked it at 3:40, and that includes the time that it takes to, you know, slow down and load the kids onto the bus, which they'd have to do anyway. So I just wanted the board to be aware of that, but I think the times are a bit exaggerated. And I have a child in Spruce Run, and one in Round Valley. I just wanted to make the board aware, in the case of the Round Valley bus, there are 8 children that get the bus at that stop on our street. And, you know, for me, I don't think it's unreasonable for 3 minutes down our street to pick up what I believe is 20% of the students that are on that bus. So full 8 students get that bus together. So thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Brian Dreyer. I live at Country Club Drive. I had sent an email to the transportation group. It took approximately 11 days for the person to get back to me. I raised one of the problems was that our stop, as it was listed, was actually not my address. There was an address that was similar to ours, with just different street numbers, about a mile up the road. I sent an email to Dr. Clark. I'm not sure if she shared it with any of you guys, but I think the timing just in the delay and the response was just completely inadequate. That email, along with three follow-up emails before I actually got Dr. Clark and the principal involved. My son's also on the pineapple bus. He gets home approximately 4:15 every day. So I guess things to bring to your attention are, number one, I just think it was very poor in the timing. I think that the transportation and children at hand, if someone sends an email saying that the address on someone's drop-off or pickup is incorrect, that should have been noted as a priority. And as I explained to that person was, in the event that a substitute driver would have come and taken over that route on that particular day, not sure my son would have gotten there at the right spot or the right time, and I think that that was very important. And aside from that, I think in general, one of the other problems I had was an email contact on the person who's part of the transportation contacts. Their phone number was actually incorrect, their extension. So I realized that after looking through the directory and comparing that to their email signature, but again, something else to point out. And lastly, a gentleman who responded back to one of my questions had sent me a student profile form, and on that student profile form was listed Delaware Valley student. I think it was Delaware Valley regional student. And my son's in kindergarten, so this is his first year in the district, so I may not have been on maybe some of the information things that had gone out prior to us enrolling in the school, but if someone from Delaware Valley is the coordinator for the transportation group, I think it'd just be courtesy to let everybody know that, look, if you get an email from somebody from Delaware Valley High School that, you know, they're actually part of Clinton Township. excuse me.
What was the form, Mr. Gerner?
I'm sorry?
Yeah. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name. Is it Gerner?
Dreyer.
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 Dreyer. I'm sorry. What was the form that was attached to the email?
So it's a student information form, and that basically the header is listed as the school that they belong to or whatever the district is, and then it has that child's information. So clearly, if you send someone's information, you would hope that it at least is the right school, not the wrong school. I guess I just kind of hope that you guys, you know, really, you know, take these comments from everyone and understand that, you know, we're not here to just kind of voice and hope for change. It's just kind of at this point, you know, we can't wait another month or another 2 months. We just kind of need to get it fixed now.
Quick question. I don't know if I'm being a little dense. So the form that they were sent to you, it had the wrong school name on it?
It still does have the wrong school.
So you were sending, they wanted you to fill it out as if you were a Delaware Valley student?
I guess what they have is a screenshot, and that screenshot has every child's profile. So it would list your address, your contact information, and the header on that is actually Delaware Valley Regional High School.
So it's your child's information with a Delaware Valley title on top.
May I address this?
Mr. Dreyer,
okay.
And I apologize. At prior board meetings, when we realized what was happening with the routes, our superintendent, our business administrator, and the board decided to bring in some outside help. Some of that outside help was a routing expert from DelVal. Probably not communicated as effectively as you correctly point out, but that's where it's coming from. It was going to the right person. We just hired outside help. In terms of the 11 days response, not acceptable. So we are taking the concern seriously. So what I would ask for you, for the folks here, and the folks listening, facilities and finance has responsibility for transportation. I chair that committee. If you're sending transportation emails or if you have a concern, my email address, kmalloy@is there. Please feel free to copy me. If you're not getting a response, please feel free to reach out directly to me. And I'll work like hell to make sure that the responses come in a timely manner. So,
And just another thing, I, in my email, had clearly spelled out to him what I thought the intended drop-off locations were. And he kind of mentioned about this mapping system that he uses. I think it just makes sense prior to a few days before school is that, excuse me, Someone actually drives the routes and makes sure that the locations that are listed are true, real locations.
I can tell you that the routes, believe it or not, do get tested, and they get tested by Mr. Ford. Mr. Ford is actually also a bus driver. So he's got fairly spooky knowledge about the township. As far as the wrong address, I'm at a loss to explain that one to you, and I apologize. So,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Hi, Sharon Zawadzki, 34 Riverbend Road. I sent several emails to Dr. Clark and a phone call, and I hadn't heard back, and that's been anywhere from 11 to 15 days.
Did somebody get to you? I'm sorry.
Sorry?
I'm sorry. I thought you were responded to. Did I?
No, but my concerns, again, are the times. We're on the Eagle bus. I just wanted to see if there was anything being done with the Eagles bus. I hear the pineapple is being talked about tonight. Is anything being talked about with the Eagles?
Mrs. Spitzer, is Eagle contemplating these changes?
I believe so, but off the top of my head.
Mrs. Watsky, what is the concern on that route?
Well, my son's being picked up at 8:05, and the drop-off time is not bad. It's 3:45. But some of the children that are in between are picked up after him and dropped off before him. So it was my understanding at the last board meeting that should not occur. And these other children have 25 minutes less time on bus every day. And
on the way in, his pickup is 8:05.
The total ride. Like, he's being picked up at 8:05. Some children are being picked up at 8:25. They're being dropped off at 3:25, and my son's being dropped off around 3:45, 3:50.
Okay. And Friday was 4:05.
I'm sorry?
And Friday it was 4:05.
I stand out there and the bus drives by and I'm like, oh my God, they forgot to drop off my son, but that was a Spruce Run bus. I was waiting for Patrick McGarren, and you kind of get freaked out because you're not really sure which way they're coming, and so it's really... No, not today. Last week they came both on the same direction. Yeah, so it's just a little concerning. I pick up, and the pickup, has anyone been there at pickup at Patrick McGarren? It's a little crazy. I'm really concerned for the safety of the children there. I mean, it's just nobody's monitoring anything. Just parents and children are all over the place.
What do you mean the pickup?
If you pick up your child at Patrick McGarren, I mean, it's just crazy. There's a lot of traffic in and out of that parking lot, and you really need to mind your children. I mean, some of the kids are little kids with their parents, and they're wandering off. So that's another safety concern. Person that was pulling out, and the door was not shut, the child wasn't even sitting. I was like, what?
If I may, Mrs. Zawadzki, when you're talking about everything is a mess at the pickup, do you mean in the building or out of the building?
No, out of the building.
Out of the building in the parking lot itself.
It's like when they pick up their child, they're going back to their cars. I mean, people are trying to get out. Other people are trying to get to their cars. It just
so
seems like it's out
of your car
because
you're backing out.
So it's just a little. I'm not saying.
I'll talk to Mrs. Postman about.
The first off issue, I mean, if anybody was here at the last board meeting, we heard Mr. Ford talk about that and the philosophy behind it, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. You try to be equitable. If someone is first on in the morning, you try to make them first off in the afternoon. So we will look into that. And again, we're trying to shoot for overall transit times, 45 minutes plus or minus 5 minutes is the goal. And even that, I understand, is long for some kids. We're trying to get those down from worst-case scenario, is an hour and 10, hour and 15 minutes. But right now, the goal, including some of the rerouting we might talk about later this evening, the benchmark is 45 on the bus. So we will look at all these individual routes that everyone has brought up tonight, talk to the routers, look into the first off issue, and see if there's any adjustments that can be made.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Al Koshikov. I live on 4 Fondbridge Road.
Hi, how are you?
So, first of all, I send a first communication about bringing up concern about safety of a bus stop that was moved off
I'm
the
sorry,
cul-de-sac.
I'm sorry, can you speak into the microphone? I can't hear you.
I send an email on October the 3rd or 4th about the safety of the bus stop that was moved off of cul-de-sac on the main Route 629. I still have not received either response or acknowledgement, but that's not really the main issue. One of the points I just wanted to point out that I can appreciate the challenge of with roll-ups and distribution and reduced distribution of the students from year to year, but somehow in the previous years the mechanism worked. And my daughter now is in fourth grade, so she rolled up 3 times, and this hasn't been an issue with changing scheduling. So either the previous bus company did a good job, or the route somehow were grandfathered, or whatever the situation was, the issue did not exist in the past. The main reason I'm here today is because this specific bus stop on Fondbridge, and it's an intersection of 4 Fondbridge, intersection of Fondbridge Road and Route 629, and two of my neighbors are here as well. The 629 makes a bend. 629 is a 50-mile-an-hour county road. It's on the bend. It's a double-blind curve going uphill and downhill, and the bus stop is right on the bend. So the speed limit on that road is 50 miles an hour, and the cars regularly travel over 60 or just flying by. There was a fireman, as you probably all know, that was killed less than a mile from that spot a few months ago during a bad visibility. I find the argument that it is dangerous for a bus to leave the cul-de-sac onto the main road illogical, because it is okay for children to stand on that intersection waiting for the bus and crossing that intersection, crossing the 629 to be picked up in the morning. And I find it logical that it's okay for them to stand there and the bus to leave. So there's some of the
Can
concerns.
I ask a question? So you're saying that they're standing on Fondbridge and then the bus stops as it heads north and they have to cross 629?
Yes. Okay. And it's in the morning.
And in the afternoon, then they get dropped off.
In the afternoon, the situation was a little better, but still, my neighbor over here did some calculations, and I sent some pictures of this blind curve. It is definitely not a safe stop. So I don't know if this needs to be brought to transportation professionals who can measure this. I don't know if this. I don't know who deals with this, but this is a really dangerous stop there.
Some of these issues we're going to talk about in committee, right?
Yeah, and because and we've your particular stop we're familiar with. One of your neighbors spoke to our committee, and actually I've driven there myself a couple of times since then because I wasn't familiar with it. So I am familiar with your stop and that turn there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to add some additional information to what my neighbor added before. I live on 8 Fondbridge. My name is Louis Medina. The three of us have children to go to that bus stop at the corner of 629 and Fondbridge. It is, as he said, at the end of a curve. It's a downhill curve. The speed limit there is 45 miles an hour. But I challenge anyone to go there any time of the day, especially rush hour, and see that cars are abiding the speed limit. when I first moved here, I myself had difficulties keeping at 45 miles an hour to even turn into my street, because that whole road is designed for people to go fast. So that's a downhill turn. It's the children would be standing on the outside of the curve. Okay, so if a car loses control, the car's not paying attention, it can easily wipe out the kids there. When you're coming down that street, I've measured it, is about 800 feet before you get to that bus stop where you can actually see it. That's if you're driving responsibly and you're looking way down the road. Most people don't drive that way. If the road's wet, if there's leaves, if there's rain, if there's fog that sometimes comes over from the lake, and you're not paying attention, you have even less reaction time. The normal reaction time at 45 miles an hour is 6 seconds. Most cars are going 60 miles an hour. So that's going down Fawn Ridge, heading south. Heading north is a whole other challenge. You have a blind uphill stop. So you have cars that are accelerating from Molasses Hill Road to probably 50 or 60 miles an hour to get up and shoot up that hill. Whether the kids are at the blind side on the outside of the turn, or if you make them cross that road, which is very, very scary, and be on the inside of the road and stand inside of a drainage ditch because that's all that's there, it's unsafe on either side. Now, 8 years ago, Jeff and I met with people in Round Valley and people from the bus company, and we had a cordial discussion about the situation, and it was determined that that was not a safe bus stop, and it was moved into the cul-de-sac. For 8 years, the buses have been pulling in there. It takes a minute and 10 seconds. I've driven it 10 times. I've measured the feet. It's 1,180 feet. It takes a minute and 10 seconds to go in there and pick up these kids for the safety of just getting picked up at a bus stop and being taken to school. I think it's a small price to pay. Now, I don't know what happened this year. I don't know what the budget was for transportation last year. I don't know what it is this year, but it seems like Mr. Malloy hit on a point before that's pretty logical. We need more buses here. There's kids on the buses way too long. The routers, the subject matter experts, who probably haven't really driven these bus routes, are not making the right recommendations here. You need more buses. Kids are on the bus 45 minutes, an hour. That's too long. Eight cul-de-sacs. How much can it take? How long can it take to pick up eight more stops, make one stop in each cul-de-sac? My cul-de-sac is 1,180 feet. The next one down the road is Country Place. I measured that one, too. That's 3,200 feet. That one takes 3 minutes to drive. That's not a long time. Not when you're talking about safety.
I just want to give you feedback, and I'm not disputing your point about the safety in that particular cul-de-sac. One of the things as board members, and again, like you, we're parents, and our kids are on the buses, too. We have parents here tonight, and, you know, for the past couple of months, and even me, myself, going back a couple of years, taking issue with the length of the rides. We have had some long rides, and we still do. We actually have each kid mapped to the minute from the GPS technology. We're able to see exactly how long the routes take. We didn't have that available to us before. It was more anecdotal. But it wasn't uncommon for there to be hour and five, hour and 10. Once in a while, you hear somebody who really had a bad one was an hour and 15. And we still have some bad ones now. But that's the impetus, just so you know, behind the cul-de-sac issue. It wasn't a change in so much of a change in our policy. A lot of it is driven by the timing. 6 minutes or 8 minutes, it's not long unless there was three of those on the same route, and the route was already an hour and 5 minutes. So I just wanted to explain, and there's several people here that have a similar issue. That was the impetus of the assessment and the change. It was trying to make the routes more manageable.
Oh, absolutely, efficiency. I can appreciate that, but I would think that, I mean, the routers, they're third-party subject matter experts. I kind of take that you guys listen to and put together the routes.
They do the routes.
Okay.
And if I can add, one of the gentlemen who did the routes for us did routing for the district for 10 years over 10 years.
Okay.
So he's incredibly familiar with it.
I'm a sales guy. I have to see 5-6 accounts all over the place constantly. I got a GPS. I put in my addresses. It tells me how long it takes to do the route. I'm not an expert, but I think that if somebody used GPSs to plan these routes way before the school started, and you looked at your budget, you said, how many buses do I need? How many stops do I need? Am I going to make? would have figured this out. Because you didn't know, you knew when these people, you knew when the stops were going to, where the stops were going to be before school started.
We migrated to the routing software since the start of the school year. At the start of the school year, the system was the system that was in place in June, at the end of the prior school year, and it totally collapsed. So that was, we migrated to hiring these routers with a GPS-based system. We didn't have it in the beginning of the year. So as now these adjustments we're making, it's a byproduct of using the routing software and the GPS feedback from the buses. You're right. It should be a fairly simple calculation if you have the software of how many kids, how many stops, what's the length to arrive at a reasonable routing. And that's kind of where we've migrated since the third week of September, roughly till now.
Gotcha. One last question. Are we exceeding the budget for busing this year?
No.
From last year?
No.
We're under?
We're under. We actually went out to RFP last year for the first time in how many years, Ms. Spitzer, 7 or 10?
12 years.
So, and there's a process for the school for bidding anything,
sure.
But for transportation, you write your spec, you put it out to bid, qualified companies bid, you check them out, and then you have to accept the lowest bid. So this year, as it wound up, we went from all of our routes at ESC to now some of our routes are at ESC, and some of our routes are with another company, Irvin Raphael.
Okay.
And another just point of reference people may not know, the bus companies can't do the routing. It has to be a separate entity. They can't do their own routing for checks and balances reasons, probably to avoid very long routes.
That makes sense.
And that's kind of where we're at now, where we're trying to take the data we're getting from the software, from the new routers, who are the directors of transportation at Central, North Huntington, and Del Valle, to try and help fix the problem.
So when the bus company that wants to bid on this project, they're going to bid on it based on the number of routes, the information that's given to them. So
yeah.
Was that information inaccurate?
No, go ahead.
When we went out to bid, we actually gave them the routes that were running last year. So we went out in February or March to kind of get an idea of where we were competitively and from our accountability requirements. And we actually went out with the bus routes that were running as of that date and time.
Right. That's all you had.
That's all I had available. Of course, it didn't graduate the eighth graders or bring in the kindergarten students. We took it as of that snapshot in time. And then we actually had a different company do the routing over the summer. It was not the individuals who are doing it now. And that's where a great deal of our problems arose.
Okay. So I take it, Mr. Malloy, you're going to be looking at the possibility of adding more buses?
There is an action item tonight when we get to my section we are actually moving an item to add routes and buses. In addition, during the facility and finance discussion, we will be specifically discussing two concerns, yours being one. The reason you did not see an action item on that, as Dr. Clark mentioned, is that it doesn't necessarily require a motion. Rather, because the Facilities and Finance Committee could not come to a resolution, we are going to bring it to the full board and discuss it in the, so to speak, sunlight.
Great.
So,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Red Fawn Drive, Lana Brennan, 21 Fawn Drive. I had a couple things I wanted to ask. I know you went out to bid last year, and I know all this stuff is changing. Will we be doing the bid because of, I guess, our specs and everything else is changing? Are we doing that at the end of this year, or is it something that once we bid, we have to wait a certain amount of time again before we redo that?
You're not required to rebid each year, and there's no requirement in terms of how often you can or cannot bid. We could rebid every year if that was to the best interest of the school district. Right now, because there are so many changes, I think that the committee will be working towards whether or not we will need to rebid for next year and what that picture will look like. I think we have a lot of work to do.
And
for future years.
It could be a full rebid. It could be simply reviewing the number of buses, adding buses within, and reviewing routing bids, reviewing routing services, things of that nature. So as I mentioned to you earlier, there is literally nothing off the table at this point.
And my other thing is, this has happened 3 times. I called the second time it happened, but it happened again. My daughter's bus, the stop sign and the little, gate in the front did not come out when it stopped at my daughter's and other students' stop. And I don't know if when you open the door, it's connected and it should automatically do it, or if there's a issue.
It should happen automatically.
Okay, because it's like it happened one afternoon. The next morning, I called. It stopped for a little while, and then I believe it was last Thursday, it happened again.
What's your bus?
Q. And my daughter actually brought something up to my attention. She rides the bus with a friend. I know, she's so helpful. She brought it up to me that a friend of hers is on the bus. When she gets on the bus, and there's a friend of hers, and it's the same friend, doesn't get off the bus until after she gets off the bus. And she said that she didn't think that it was fair. And I agreed with her, and I said, we changed buses because she was upset about her. We changed buses to the whole bus thing. And, she said, in my old bus, I had a friend who got off after me but got on before me. It was whatever. It was the back and forth. And I know the Q bus, they come all the way from Stanton back over there, across 31 over to my side, which is all off Lilac, and then I think they go through some back area over there, come to me, and then continue on out. And it just seems very convoluted in the way that it goes, and maybe the new bus routes or new added buses will alleviate that, but I just feel that the first on, first off, my daughter was in that position where she was maybe not the exact first one, but she was one of the she had an hour both ways. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I have no problem. And she hasn't, even she said, it's only fair that, if I get on last, I should maybe have a long, maybe I shouldn't get off first. And I said, I agree with you. What are you going to do? And, I think that, my route got changed to where we got condensed. And I'm not going to complain about that because I do greatly appreciate it. But I would rather it to be, I'd be okay with her being first on if that meant her bus ride on the other end wouldn't be as bad. I understand that that's how it goes. And I'm sure most of your parents, as long as both ways don't suck, I'm sure one way you get through and you teach them. That's what you do.
Again, we, per the last meeting with Jerry Ford, not that Jerry Ford, when we looked at that, Yes, President Ford did pass away. What we looked at was first on, first off. So we will look at your bus.
I think
I can remember your address.
Yes.
but let's look at that as well.
Because we switched buses and it became us not being last on, last or first mm-hmm. on, first off, or first on, last off.
Right.
But it became, but like I said.
But to your point, the goal is if a ride is longer on one side of the route, then the ride should be shortened on the back side of the route or vice versa.
And
so,
I know Pam, and I also know my friend, or my daughter's friend, Wysong. They're parallel to us, but it's so far apart that it just seems silly that she's, it just seems very complicated on our bus. But just, right. And I think so, yes.
Do me a favor, if you can, we'll look into it, but just if you get a chance, shoot Dr. Clark, Mrs. Spitzer, and myself an email on that one so we can jump into it, okay?
Thank you.
You got it.
Down.
Okay, good.
I wrote it down.
Was Mr. Ford invited here tonight? I assume he was. He couldn't make it. Is that?
Yes. Mr. Ford.
Mr. Ford was invited. He just couldn't make it. I just want to make sure that we. Okay, thank you.
I'm going to speak while you're walking up. believe it or not, like some of that routing. We've heard about some routing that goes up into High Bridge and back down. It sounds a little odd, and we're going to look at that more closely. One of the things that we're trying to correct with the software that we now have that we didn't have before it was spreadsheets, was trying to eliminate some of that odd routing. Some of the routes we had migrated to this very bizarre, you start, Allerton Road and Lilac in that area. The bus wound up north of 78. Then it came back down over the PMG area. It made no sense. And that was why we had those long routes. So the intent is to make more sense of the routes so that they're shorter and they're more efficient. So, I heard a couple tonight, and we're writing them down, and and we're going to check them specifically. We have all the routes. We can see them. It sounds a little atypical from what we were expecting, so we will look at those and see what's going on there. Hello.
Hi. How are you? Hi, I'm Jeff Shore. I live at 6 Fawn Ridge Road. I'm really here for moral support for my colleagues that live on the road. I had the opportunity to address the subcommittee or committee earlier on transportation, and you heard most of my concerns. They're really no different than my neighbors. A couple of things. We obviously feel very strongly that this is an unsafe bus stop. We wouldn't be here if we didn't. You know, I was looking at the ASK test scores, and I was thinking, wow, our kids are really doing well, and they're really doing it on their own. I think it would be a shame if we let them down without taking some concrete steps to improve safety. After all, this is what this is about, safety. The other thing I want to urge the board to do is do what we do at work all the time when we have a really ineffective launch of anything. And we do have our fair share, and I think you would probably agree with me that this was pretty ineffective. We do a post-mortem, and we really harden ourselves, and we go through what did we do wrong and how did we do wrong. We all raise our hand. By the end of the day, we're all raising our hand saying, you know what, I did most of it. And then we communicate to the group, or in my case, my division, and I say, you know what, this is what we did wrong. This is what we're going to do to correct it. And everybody feels a whole lot better at the end of the day. And I think you guys earn a lot of credibility back in the process. So I urge you to do that if you haven't already taken that up.
Thank you, Mr. Shaw.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Troy James, Twin Oaks Lane.
Hello.
Some of the other folks here. Just one thing, when you're looking at the efficiency of bus routing, just wanted to bring a note, the 7th and 8th grade bus, I think I brought up at the last meeting, in the afternoon they're being kept on longer and actually passing our street, making several stops, and then coming back around before letting them off, and it's probably adding another 10 or 15 minutes that the kids are on the bus. I mean, it's, you know, they're older, so it's not that big of a deal, but it's just time wasted. So from an efficiency perspective, they could very well let them off at the end of our street, and it's about 7 or 8 of them. So it would be a worthwhile stop just to let them off, and they could go about their, you know, they could go about their day without staying on the bus extra time and be much more efficient.
Just to confirm, you've got 7, 8 children at CTMS on your street?
Yeah. Well, one person is on Lilac and the rest are down our street.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mr. James. I just wanted to clarify. Are those students, they're getting off the right side of the road,
well,
right?
Well, yeah.
I think why it passes is
right.
To loop around to put them on the right side.
Yeah, that's the thing. Okay. But, I mean, they are older. They could probably cross the street if, you know, just from an efficiency standpoint, something to look at.
Thank you, Mr. James. Any other comments? Let's see, let me go back to where we are. Agenda items only. Any other comments for anything on the agenda? There's two more opportunities for members of the public to speak in the meeting. Seeing none, we're going to move on to first recognition of the public. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on anything. It doesn't need to be on the agenda. Any comments? Okay, seeing none, we're going to move on to the report of the school business administrator, Mrs. Spitzer. Give you a chance to stop writing. And thank you, everybody, for that feedback. We appreciate it.
On the agenda this evening are the minutes for September 23rd to be approved, and executive sessions for September 23rd. We did have two, so there are two separate motions to be approved. Attached, there was several board secretaries and treasurer's reports, financial statements. You have a revised June 30th board secretaries and treasurer's report. The reason for that is to do the updates prior to the auditors coming in. The auditors are in the building this week. They actually started today. Things so far are going really well. And in addition to that, you have included the July and August financial statements as well. Those may be adjusted if there are any additional audit or journal entries, but they will be minor. So there are three sets of financial statements, therefore the very thick package this month. Our next board meeting will be here on November the 18th at 7:30.
Thank you, Mrs. Spitzer. Could I have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Second. On 008 through 011 by John Higgins and a second by Dan McTiernan. We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on the BA action items?
Just quick, real quick. On 009 and 010, there is a possibility for the record that the July and August Secretary and Treasurer's report could be revised as a possibility.
That is correct. And there may also be a final June.
Okay.
They all kind of roll
up. I just
want
to make
one
okay.
changes, they all.
Okay. Thank you.
Mrs. Spitzer, who is the auditor that's conducting the audit right now? Actually, let's do this.
Okay. Our audit is conducted by William Colantano's office,
okay.
And we have associates within his firm. We have five auditors here.
And how long are they in for, generally?
They were here for a week in June, and they will be here this week, although I'm strongly encouraging them to finish as soon as possible, but I don't get a vote, unfortunately.
Okay, thank you.
Time is money.
Is there any other discussion on the BA action items? Seeing none, can we please have a roll call vote?
Mrs. Presti?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes, but on action item 14BA 008, I abstain from executive session minutes number 2.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Verderamo?
Yes, but no, I don't think I have to do this correctly here. I think I have to abstain from the executive session ones.
Yeah, I think on
actually, I think I have to do all. September 23rd? I wasn't. No, so I have to do all. Never mind. Take that back. I have to save them all.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to stay in our hall.
It's all learning process. Learning process.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Oh, yes, motion carries.
Mr. Sturgis, can I ask, we're going on 2.5 hours right now. Can we just take a 5-minute break?
Absolutely.
Did you say 2.5 hours?
Yes. Oh, wait, and no, 13 sorry. Seconds.
Okay, now.
It feels like about 4.
Sorry.
You know,
we're approaching 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to adjourn for 5 minutes. The time is 9:48. Why don't we start back up at 9:55?
Thank you, Maria.
9:55.
I'll race to the bathroom.
Do we need a motion to
it? No.
I'll let you go.